Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa Pad, Raja Gacharya Satir, Satya Shri, Shimna Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, all glorious to simple devotees, all glorious to simple devotees, all glorious to simple devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Shri Garanga. Maham Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Mastabhutade, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamani, Namaste Saraswati Dim Gauravani Bhishani Nirvishesh Shani Vani Bhaskata Deshitarane. So we'll be reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam. If we had a Srimad Bhagavatam up here. And also, Madan Prabhu, could you also give me the... Thank you. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from Canto 10. We're beginning Chapter 13, the stealing of the boys and calves by Brahma. And we'll begin with the chapter summary. This chapter describes Lord Brahma's attempts to take away the calves and coward boys, and it also describes the bewilderment of Lord Brahma and finally the clearance of his illusion. Although the incident concerning Agasura had been performed 1 year before, when the coward boys were 5 years old, when they were 6 years old, they said it happened today. What happened was this. After killing Agasura, Krishna, along with his associates, the coward boys, went for a picnic within the forest. The calves, being allured by green grasses, gradually went far away, and therefore Krishna's associates became a little agitated and wanted to bring back the calves. Krishna, however, encouraged the boys by saying, "You take your tiffin without being agitated. I shall go find the calves." And thus the Lord departed. Then, just to examine the potency of Krishna, Lord Brahma took away all the calves and coward boys and kept them in a secluded place. When Krishna was unable to find the calves and boys, he could understand that this was a trick performed by Brahma. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, in order to please Lord Brahma, as well as his own associates and their mothers, expanded himself to become the calves and boys, exactly as they were before. In this way, he discovered another pastime. A special feature of this pastime was that the mothers of the coward boys thus became more attached to their respective sons, and the cows became more attached to their calves. After nearly a year, Baladeva observed that all the coward boys and calves were expansions of Krishna. Thus he inquired from Krishna and was informed of what had happened. When one full year had passed, Brahma returned and saw that Krishna was still engaged as usual with his friends and the calves and the cows. Then Krishna exhibited all the calves and coward boys as four-arm forms of Narayan. Brahma could then understand Krishna's potency, and he was astonished by the pastimes of Krishna, his worshipable Lord. Krishna, however, bestowed his causeless mercy upon Brahma and released him from illusion. Thus, Brahma began to offer prayers to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, reading text one. Sri Shukavacha, Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga. Vaya Bhagavato Tama Yanutana Shishai Yanutanaya Sishasha Yanutanaya Sishasha Srinvana Pikatamahu Sri Shukuvacha.
Sadhu
Prishtam Mahabhaga. Vaya Bhagavatotama Yanutana Yasishasha Shrindana Pikatamahu Sri Shukuvacha Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga Vaya Bhagavatotama Yanutana Yasishasha Shrinvan Api Katamahu. Ladies. Sri Shukuvacha, Shukadeva Goswami said, Sadhu Prishtam, I have been very much honored by your inquiry. Mahabhaga, you are a greatly fortunate personality. Twaya, by you. Bhagavatuttama, O best of devotees. Yet, because Nutana Yashisi, you are making newer and newer. Ishasha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shrinvanapi, although you are continuously hearing. Katam, the pastimes. Muhu, again and again. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikkhit, you have inquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving his activities to be newer and newer. Purport. Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nityam nava navaya manam. Even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadaiva Hridayeshu Valokayanti. The word Santa is used to refer to persons who develop love for Krishna. Yang Shama Sundarama Chintaguna Sarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma Samhita 5:38. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, is addressed as Bhagavatottama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very much elevated in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy from hearing more and more and appreciate the topics as ever fresher and newer. Om Jnana Timanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurulimitamina Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Tirubhishcha Kripa Sindhavyevacha Patitano Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namaha. So I remember when I was young, probably high school, or more like junior high, I remember they used to have the hit parade every week. It would be the top songs, the most popular song of that week, and they'd have a big countdown, number 30, number 28, all the way down to number 2, and then number 1. And every week we wanted to see what was the new number 1 song. And usually there was a different one every week. Sometimes a really popular song would last 2 or 3 or 4 weeks as number 1, and that was considered to be a great hit. But eventually it went from 1 to 3 to 12 to 22 to off the charts. And then it only came back, you know, when the group put together a compilation of the greatest hits, or then it came back later as some oldie, and a few people remember it. But basically, nobody really wanted to hear it too much after a few weeks. So this is the nature of material sound vibration. It becomes old, it becomes stale, it has a little bit of sensory enjoyment factor to it, and then it quickly fades, and we want something new. We want something fresh. Why do we want something new and fresh? Because that's the nature of the soul. And that's what this wonderful verse in purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, that the advanced devotees of the Lord experience the pastimes of Krishna and experience hearing and chanting about Krishna as ever new and fresh. The Hare Krishna mantra has been our number one hit for thousands and thousands of years. And about 15 minutes ago, we were enthusiastically chanting that same Hare Krishna mantra, those same 3 words. Never becoming bored, never becoming tired of it, but increasingly becoming more and more inspired, more and more enthusiastic, and more relishing that sound vibration. And of course, that is the difference between spiritual sound vibration and material sound vibration. And so as the devotee experiences spiritual sound, experiences the names of the Lord, which are none different from the Lord, he becomes increasingly more enlivened. Because as the devotee advances in Krishna consciousness, that understanding or realization that hearing and chanting about Krishna is non-different than associating directly with Krishna. And as we get a little bit of inkling of that, and as we get some experience of that, that enthusiasm and excitement and bliss of Krishna consciousness increases more and more. There's a very, very nice, I'm sure I've read this one before, one of my favorites, very, very nice verse and purport, I'll just read part of it, from the Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-20. It says, always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in their activities. The all-knower, the super-soul within the heart of the devotee makes everything increasingly fresh. And Srila Prabhupada says, a devotee is inspired by the super-soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel he's in a very stagnant position. There's really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is situated in everyone's heart and that he helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. Srila Jiva Goswami says in this connection that the super soul, the plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart, but in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. So I always found that a very wonderful and inspiring purport by Srila Prabhupada, and of course the verse itself is very inspiring because it tells us about this ever-increasing nature of devotional service and actually the ever-increasing nature of the entire spiritual world. This is the spiritual world. This is spiritual energy. The quality of spiritual energy that's being discussed here is that it's ever-increasing. It always expands. Just like Prabhupada said, love is something that always expands. The material world, we think, well, if I love this person, then I can't love this someone so much, or if there's too many people in my life, it becomes overwhelming. We sort of run out, right? We have a certain capacity, you know, for relationships, and then we kind of overextend or we just can't handle anymore. Spiritual love is the opposite. It's ever-increasing. The more that is out there, the more that you, that we increase our bhakti and our love for Krishna and our love and our devotion for other devotees, it's ever increasing. There's more and more capacity because the capacity of the soul for devotional service, for bhakti, for love is unlimited. It's infinite. It's eternal. So there's really no limit. Just as Krishna is unlimited and his energy is unlimited and his ability to manifest pastimes, you know, all sorts of varieties of activities is totally unlimited. Not that the living entity is quite the same. It's quite the same. We're obviously small, tiny part and parcels, but we do have that quality of how our bhakti and love can continuously expand. Now, of course, the degree that we feel this ever-fresh enthusiasm and the degree, as Maharaj Parikshit had for continuously hearing the Bhagavatam, and of course, he's being praised here by Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva is noting his enthusiasm to hear the pastimes of Krishna in this 10th canto. Well, of course, they weren't, I don't think Shukadeva wasn't saying, now I'm giving the 10th canto. He's just speaking, and of course, Vyasadeva probably broke it up later. But as he got into these pastimes of Krishna, he noted Parikshit's growing enthusiasm, that he wanted to hear more and more. He was giving, you know, good inquiries. He was wanting to, you know, say, please tell me more and more. I want to hear about Krishna. And this is a person, this is, you know, he's on 10th canto. I don't know, he has 7 days to live. He's probably getting pretty close, right? I don't know which day this is for Maharaj Parikshit, but we can understand here's a person with a couple days left to live. And so what's he thinking about? I better check my will out. He wants to hear more and more about the pastimes of Krishna. Because he is self-realized, because he's a great devotee, he understands that there is nothing more valuable to him. Especially at the time of death, there is nothing more important than to fix his mind on Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. And what a better way than hear these wonderful, glorious stories of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. So Shukadeva Goswami is very much appreciating, under these circumstances, the enthusiasm of Parikshit Maharaj to hear the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in this verse, Parikshit is addressed by Shukadeva Goswami as Bhagavatottama, best of the devotees. Very high praise, obviously. Best of the devotees. And why? Because he's feeling this ecstasy of continually hearing about Krishna. It's this quality is why Shukadeva Goswami is calling him best of the devotees. You know, so, he's feeling ecstasy and continually hearing about Krishna. And this is the quality of pure devotees. Pure devotees experience and relish this at every moment. Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport from the Brahma Samhita, a very, very wonderful verse. The translation is, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shamasundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. Such a beautiful verse. That the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. The pure devotees seeing Krishna within their hearts at all times. But this is the qualification. They are pure devotees. They are unmotivated. They are unattracted to material life. Their only desire is to serve Krishna and to love Krishna. And therefore, because of that intense love, because of that purity, because of their 100% unadulterated bhakti and love for Krishna, they are able to experience Krishna in this way. They are able to see Krishna. It says in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion. It indicates that it's not a theoretical or intellectual pursuit. It's reality. It's experienced. It's direct experience of the personality of Godhead. So the pure devotees are not only seeing Krishna within their heart or seeing Krishna directly if they are happen to be in a particular pastime with Krishna, but they are also seeing Krishna directly through this process of hearing and chanting. And understanding that hearing of Krishna's pastimes, chanting the glories of Krishna, is non-different than him. It is a completely spiritual experience, and therefore it is no different than being directly with Krishna. And because of that, experiencing Krishna in the process of hearing and chanting, one naturally becomes more and more enthusiastic. One naturally just wants to have more and more service, more and more experience with Krishna, hear more about Krishna, glorify Krishna more. Now, of course, we're talking about the qualities of the pure devotees, and that's obviously something that we want to attain to. We have the acharyas as our exemplars. That's what acharya means, one who shows by example. So we are fortunate that we have the exemplars, the Vaishnava acharyas, in this incredible sampradaya. And we see that all the way from Krishna down to Lord Chaitanya, six Goswamis, down to Srila Prabhupada, we're seeing this example of the great devotees who are experiencing and enthusiastically hearing and chanting about Krishna, seeing Krishna in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Now, unfortunately, I'm not in that situation. We may not feel this constant attraction for Krishna. We may not be experiencing Krishna within the heart at every moment. We may be rarely experiencing Krishna within the heart. Actually, we are experiencing Krishna in the heart at every moment, but we may not be consciously aware of it in the way that a very advanced devotee is. So we may not always feel an attraction for hearing and chanting. We're not always attracted to reading the Srimad Bhagavatam every spare moment of our life. Other things come into our mind. Other things attract us. Our consciousness and our concentration get spread in many, many different ways because we have not reached that level of steady devotional service. Our determination, enthusiasm, is not yet steady. But through the practice of devotional service, it is becoming more and more so. I was thinking about this enthusiasm, and I checked on the Veda base, and I just saw a few things that Srila Prabhupada said. And it's interesting, because almost every time when he said enthusiasm, he referred to the nectar of instruction, verse 3. And he always talked about, especially patience, but patience and confidence along with enthusiasm. And it's very interesting. Of course, the nectar of instruction is that very nectar, that essence of how to understand the practice of devotional service. These, you know, very, very few verses of Rupa Goswami just distilled the very essence of Krishna consciousness and how to advance in devotional service. So these are very, very powerful verses. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada writes very long, extensive, several-page purports in each one of those. And I was looking at that third verse and how Prabhupada was breaking down Utsayan Nishchayad Tayaryat. Enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. And I just picked a line or two out of some of his descriptions because I think it all ties together. We want to become enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness, but we need the confidence, determination, and patience along with it to make it work. One of Prabhupada's definitions of enthusiasm I thought was very interesting. He said, endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. Not the first thing I would have thought of, but endeavor executed with intelligence. You think, well, that wouldn't necessarily be enthusiastic, but to gain enthusiasm, you know, to have that really focus and interest and excitement of Krishna consciousness, there must be this intelligent endeavor. One must really apply oneself in Krishna consciousness. And then, as Prabhupada is indicating, that enthusiasm will grow and develop when one applies oneself to the practice of Krishna consciousness. But we also have to be patient. We've been in this material world a long time, many lifetimes. We have a few bad habits to overcome. we have a few material inebrieties, probably they used the word inebrieties, to overcome. So it's going to take a little while. I remember back in when we became devotees 40-some years ago, I don't know about some of you older devotees, but I assumed, you know, a couple of years would be a pure devotee. You know, I thought that's how it worked. You know, okay, now we're, you know, I'm on board. I believe it. We're going to do it now. And, you know, I remember some of my other bhaktas say, yeah, probably a couple of years we'll take sannyas, you know, then we'll, you know, we just thought we'd be pure devotees right away. And then, surprise, it wasn't quite so easy. It wasn't quite so easy to overcome so much baggage, you know. And of course, the baggage you call anartas. So much that we had to overcome, so much we had to purify. And so strong and material desires were still rooted there. So we also had to learn patience. And Prabhupada said, one should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but you take instruction from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So in other words, when one executes Krishna consciousness, you know, under the instructions of the spiritual master, then one patiently waits for the process to work. And of course, Srila Prabhupada gives the example in that purport, if a woman wants to have a baby. So, you know, the husband and wife decide, yes, let's have a child. That's the way it's supposed to work. Husband and wife, married already, decide to have a child. Just a small reminder of we have these principles in Krishna consciousness. Okay, then so once that happens, then, okay, so you're really ready, but you don't have a baby right away. It's going to take 9 months at least, maybe more. Depends on, you know, so in other words, one has to have the patience knowing that it will happen eventually. I've begun the process, and I will have a child. I have to be patient and wait for the child to be born. So in the same way, we are going to be devotees. We've made that choice. We've started the process, and it's going to take some time to fully unfold to the point where we are seeing Krishna within our heart of hearts. The last one was confidence, which I think is interesting. Prabhupada says, Krishna will surely protect me and give me help for the successful execution of devotional service. This is called confidence. Confident that Krishna will be there. Krishna will help me. Krishna will give me guidance. Krishna will protect me. Now, it's interesting, this word nischayata, confidence, is in several places Prabhupada uses it almost interchangeably with determination. I'm not sure how the Sanskrit is literally translated, but sometimes, like in the Bhagavad Gita, there's the word nischayena, which means determination, is translated. So sometimes there's translation as confidence, sometimes more determination. Very, very similar ideas, of course. And in the Bhagavad Gita 6:34, Krishna says, one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination, nischayena, and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. In the purport to 6:34, Srila Prabhupada first talks about the story of the sparrow. And he gives this as an example of determination. I'm sure you all know the story. The sparrow is near the mother sparrow has her eggs near the on the beach there near the ocean. The waves come up, take her eggs out into the sea. And of course, she's very distraught. And so she says to the ocean, please return my eggs. Ocean doesn't care. No response from the ocean. So she says, I will dry up the ocean until my eggs are returned. So she takes her little beak and starts taking out one beak full of water out of the ocean and keeps this up on and on and on without stopping, determined that she is going to dry up the ocean, which of course is a totally impossible feat for this little sparrow. But she gains the attention of Garuda, the king of the birds. Garuda comes and says to the ocean, you give her back her eggs or you're going to deal with me and I'm going to dry you up. And of course the ocean immediately responds to Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu, and gives back the eggs. So Prabhupada gives that the example of the kind of determination that's needed in spiritual life. And then he says, similarly, in the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga and Krishna consciousness, it may appear to be a very difficult job. But if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. Another one of those, I think, English expressions that Prabhupada was fond of, God helps those who help themselves. Is that a biblical expression? or just an English saying, I'm not sure. So God helps those who help themselves. That means that we have a part in this. We don't just sit back and say, okay, Krishna, here I am. Make me pure. Make me a great devotee. Do your thing. No. We don't ask Krishna to be our order supplier. We don't say, Krishna, you come and do the work. No. We are in the position of servant of Krishna. So our humble position is, please, Krishna, if you desire, please let me become purified so I can serve you better, so that I can love you better. So we need to develop that inner quality of determination. Sometimes it's said we become determined by being determined. There is that quality of self, of free will. We have a choice. We have some choice. There's a minute amount of free will for the living entity. Usually our free will comes down to, are we going to serve Maya or are we going to serve Krishna? That's about the extent of our free will. But nevertheless, it's there. And it's there is not just as a one-time choice, but it's there at every moment. At every moment we have choice. And at every moment we have the ability to prioritize. Am I going to hear about Krishna or hear about something else? Am I going to speak about devotional service, or am I going to speak about some other nonsense, or, you know, what the latest gossip is or whatever? And we all do it, of course. But we have to remember that we do have that choice. We do have that ability to make Krishna-conscious choices at every moment. Now, to be able to do this, to make these choices, to serve with more and more determination, obviously we require some help, because we're coming from point A and we need to get to point B. So how do we do that? Well, as we've said before, it comes about through our determined, confident, and patient service to the spiritual master, following the process of bhakti yoga, following the process of sadhana bhakti. So our Krishna conscious practice will strengthen that determination. If we have just enough determination to begin the practice, then that will become stronger through continual practice of the nine processes of Krishna consciousness, particularly beginning with hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. And of course, the regular principles must be there. That's part of our determination. That's probably one of the main areas where we're asked, when we begin spiritual life, to exercise the free will and exercise that determination that we have. And, you know, it's interesting that often Prabhupada didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for the struggle. Well, I mean, of course he had sympathy. Prabhupada had total compassion for his disciples as well as all living entities. But when people had come to him sort of saying, oh, it's really hard to follow the regular principles, Prabhupada didn't really go for that line too well, did he? He says, sometimes he become very angry. He said, you have promised. You've made a vow. How can you break your vow? And a person saying, I don't want to break my vow, you know, but it's like, you know, the material energy seems so strong. But Prabhupada often put it back on us, that it is up to us. It is our determination. It is our vow that we have to follow. As I said, you become determined by being determined. You do it somehow or another. Now, as I said, our sadhana, our practices of bhakti yoga are going to strengthen us. And the other very, very important thing to remember is the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada set up a society for Krishna consciousness, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It wasn't just, you know, the books were out there, people read, or we came together and, you know, to have some intellectual, you know, philosophy reading. No, the society is here for us to be with one another, to help one another, to give strength and to get strength from one another. And this is very, very important. And we need to fully take advantage of that association of devotees. Of course, we want to take good association. That's the idea. We want to get the association of advanced devotees whenever possible. So in Lhasa, we're very fortunate. We have so many wonderful advanced devotees. Like Giriraj Maharaj is coming. I've been trying to get him to come for about 3 years. I've had no success. I think Shesha got him to come. Thank you, Shesha. You have definitely more persuasion potency than I do. But anyway, so you know, we have these opportunities to associate. And not just, you know, with some sannyasi or, you know, big so-called big devotee comes, but we have the opportunity to associate with one another. And, of course, it's a very wonderful community. There are many advanced devotees, many very nice devotees. And the thing is, of course, the devotee associates in three ways, with those that are on a higher position that one serves, one on an equal position, one makes friendships with, and one who is on a, of course, we don't necessarily in mind make a determination, one is on a lower position, but let's say someone's a new devotee or a, you know, a younger devotee, then we give them our association. One has compassion and shows mercy to those on a, you know, who may be on a newer position than themselves. You know, so so one can associate with any level of devotee in a very, very nice and wonderful and loving way. You know, there's no need to, you know, shut them out or to not associate, but we associate properly. We take association from those who are equal and more advanced, and we give association maybe to those who are less advanced. It's really a fairly simple process. And in that way, we all become enlivened in, you know, in associating with all levels of devotees. And that helps our enthusiasm and increase our determination, particularly if we have doubts. We express those doubts to devotees. We may, hopefully, those doubts will be eradicated or at least alleviated to some degree, or give us something further to think about, at the very least. And as we continue in devotional service in that sadhu sangha, in that very, very important association with devotees, performing our practices of sadhana bhakti under the instruction of the spiritual master, our determination increases. And as we patiently follow those practices, our enthusiasm for more devotional service will grow. And as we were reading from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Krishna consciousness, it is never stale, it is never dry, it is always ever fresh. So that's another check that we have. If I'm feeling bored, I'm feeling discouraged, there's something wrong in my execution of Krishna consciousness, because devotional service should not be experienced this way, that way. Devotional service should be experienced as something that is ever new, ever fresh, and ever increasing. So we need to sometimes increase our sadhana, our association, or determine what it might be that's preventing that feeling of ever new, increasing, and ever fresh enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Okay? I'll stop at that point. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Questions or comments? Yes, Guru Prasad, Mara, what did you?
Enthusiasm in endeavoring with intelligence, Prabhupada's thing. When Prabhupada was starting his movement in Jhansi, he tried and then he endeavored. So when do you use your intelligence when something is not working? I mean, at what point or how do you...
It's really interesting that you mentioned that. You must have read that verse, the purport, recently, because Prabhupada actually gives an example like that of himself when he talks about confidence in termination. He talks about, he said, I struggled for many years trying to start this Krishna conscious movement without so much success, but eventually Krishna helped and made it successful. So actually Prabhupada does give that example of himself, of how you continue to endeavor with confidence, using one's intelligence, knowing that the result is up to Krishna. Krishna will help, but we can't choose the timetable and the exact manner and way that Krishna will help us. You know, we may say, Krishna, please help, and I want you to help in this way, at this time. No, that's up to Krishna. So we just continue in that way, with our enthusiasm and determination, patiently, and wait for Krishna to manifest his mercy to us. That was interesting, because Prabhupada said that. You know, so in other words, if we ever think, well, I'm not being very successful, Prabhupada says, I worked for years and didn't get very far. Then finally, it all happened. Yeah. Are there questions, comments? Yeah, Trivikram, Prabhu.
So earlier you were speaking about wanting to hear the number one hit. So we know that the pastimes of Krishna are like the number one pastime. But yet it seems... few of us few of us are willing to read about the pastimes, listen to it, and so forth, especially in the material world. Why is this happening, really? I mean, even though his pastimes is the best, you know, yet just a few know about.
Yeah, I mean, what is the question exactly?
How has this come about, really? I mean, his pastimes are like the number one pastime in the world, mm-hmm. Krishna's pastime. Mm-hmm. But yet few people seem to want to listen and hear about
them. Oh, yes, yes. Why are not more people attracted to Krishna's pastimes? Well, of course, one has to have, you know, a pure heart to some degree to be able to understand that. And Prabhupada said, if you're selling diamonds, you're not going to get so many customers. You know, only a few people have the money and are really interested in something of real value. Prabhupada gave the example that when Krishna was on the planet, he said maybe 50 people on the entire planet knew who Krishna was. And that was when he was there personally present. What to speak of, you know, hearing later, 5,000 years later, about these pastimes. So it's not such an easy thing. And because someone can understand who Krishna is when Krishna reveals himself to them. You know, and in fact, we were reading the other day the importance of it. You know, Krishna says in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the one who knows the reality of his appearance and disappearance, who understands his pastimes, never takes birth again in this material world. Yeah, so it's not so easy. It's, as you rightly pointed out, it's a more rare commodity for someone to actually understand Krishna. But we do find that people become attracted to Krishna. Many people become attracted to Krishna when they hear Krishna's pastimes or they read the books. And that's why Srila Prabhupada wanted that people can become a little bit, attracted to Krishna. And we'd see that so often. A person, maybe sometimes they just see a picture of Krishna and they become attracted. So it's kind of a matter of percentages. Some people who are ready, who have reached that point in their spiritual journey, or, you know, they've accumulated enough sukriti to be able to have enough faith to appreciate Krishna, they're out there. So we just have to keep endeavoring, to people. And, you know, there's a certain amount of discouragement. And many of us probably try to distribute books, and you get no, 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 and then you get yes, you know. And you get, you know, and that's really nice, and that's exciting. So, yeah, it's not everyone's going to take to this, but we have the confidence that if we present Krishna consciousness, you know, those people who are intelligent or pious or fortunate will take to it. Hari Dev Prabhu.
I think, like anything else, it's a matter of marketing, and I've seen that. I've been around for 40 some odd years, and we had certain ways of presenting Krishna consciousness in the beginning, just because we had few temples, not a lot of money. You know, we had just certain ways that we were letting people in on this amazing experience that we're having, this secret of all secrets. But now I'm seeing so many different ways. I mean, we go now to the Rath Yatra festivals, and there's all this wonderful dancing going on. I mean, you know, people are attracted to different aspects of Krishna. Krishna's sweetness in the form of prasada, or in the form of just association with devotees. And there's so many more devotees than there were 40 years ago. So I think it is just a matter of marketing, and the more we can think of ways to spread Krishna consciousness, then the more people will be attracted. Look what Indra Dundamaraj is doing. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Yeah. And Prabhupada talked about cultural conquest.
Yeah, yeah. Cultural weapons.
And how much he stressed the art, the sculpture,
definitely.
What you all did with fate. Prabhupada
definitely
wanted Krishna consciousness presented in so many ways to attract people. Yeah. I was thinking about the contributions of so many of you pioneers in Krishna consciousness, like Adi Dave and the whole Fate Project, and we were hearing about Kirti Raj this morning, you know, and in his work in Poland. You know, it was interesting. I'm sorry, this just reminded me that I was running a department of BBT back many, many years ago in the 70s, and we had the library party was part of the work for it. And what we do, we'd put on these programs, conventions, book conventions around the world. And there was always one in Russia, and Kiryaj would go and do that. We would send the books, for the displays, for the booth, so they couldn't really do too much about it. But of course, somehow or another, he didn't bring all those books back that we sent over there. They seemed to have disappeared, must have been a shipping problem or something. Anyway, yeah, so many wonderful ways to present Krishna consciousness. Okay. We probably should come to an end. Did you have one last comment here? Okay. We're gonna have to end here.
I remember Mother Jadarani told me that Prabhupada said to her that actually don't be surprised who leaves, but who stays in this Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, my wife gave me Japa Transformed by Sadhguru Maharaj, and reading that and comparing to the book Hare Krishna Transformed by Burke Rothberg, and seeing that actually actually maintain their Krishna consciousness and their Krishna consciousness movement, and thinking how that actually Prabhupada's the founder, so it's sort of like we're as long as we stick with Prabhupada, that it's like having an anchor that's there and it's going to keep us there in Krishna consciousness. And I thank you very much for
thank you. Nice come. Good point. You're going to Mayapur? To Vrindavan. Jai, Haribo. Very, very wonderful. So glad to hear that you're going, and have a great trip and a wonderful spiritual experience. Jai, Haribo. Okay. Last comment. Okay.
I was there for the summer, and devotees come from all over the world. And when you hear about the preaching going on, it's really mind-blowing.
Yeah.
They have these devotees in Italy, I think. They go, especially during rush hour, and they just sing, a chant in the street, and they dance with the people, the workers coming up, the brahmachari dance with the woman. And it's amazing preaching, amazing, amazing things happening. So, sometimes we don't hear it because we live here in Alachua, but in New York, devotees come, like I was there one day in the temple making garlands. This one man came in, he's Chinese, and he said, I want to see deities. I want to see the deities. And I said, temple room, I showed him. I said, where are you from? He said, China. I said, when did you come? He said, I came in last night. I just want to see the deities. So they get books, we don't see the growth, or we don't see how they developing their Krishna consciousness, but so many people come in all the time, and we see they get books at the airport, or they get books in different country, and they come here, and they're growing, they hear it, and then they see the deity. It's amazing. You're so enlivened when you hear all these different stories and all these different preaching. And I know if I mention this is one baby, we were going on Harinam quickly, and every morning we'll go, the baby will, I think he was 9 months old, I might have told the story. And the parents didn't know what was wrong. The kid will create such a fuss. So the father decided one day to bring the kid down to the Harinam. We were going down the street. The kid was so peaceful and so happy. So every day he would bring the kid down, the whole 3 months we were there. And one day I had Radharani's bouquet in my hand, and I was passing out books. So I was just saying Haribo to the kid, but I kept moving around. And the kid kept pointing to me. And then finally I said, oh, maybe he wants Radharani bouquet. He grabbed it immediately, and he became quiet. So, we don't know who these people are. Amazing things.
Thank you. As a final comment, I would like to mention we're trying to increase book distribution 20% throughout North America this year, so we're asking all the temples to try to increase. And I don't know if you've heard this or not, but we'll try to get some more information out some out. But so far this year, New Raman Reddy Alachua Temple is up 400% from last year in our book distribution. So thank all those devotees who have been working that, and we're expecting a big, Christmas push, so we're probably going to go up way beyond that. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.